You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hey everybody, look at us live again. What is going on? Well, crap. Well, look like the I did try to get us to stream on Rumble. Look, I get broke. I'll fix it later. That's fine. It's fine. Anyways, I did try to stream live to Rumble, but it's messing up.
That's about like it?
Huh?
X.
It cost us $1 million per episode to get this together. X ain't paying that type of money. Okay. Anyways, hello everybody. Welcome to an exciting episode of Low Key on the Wheelers Network. I am your host for this evening. My name is Harry, aka the Moving Target. And it's gonna be an exciting episode today. We're gonna talk about different cool things on out there in the world that we have come across this last week. It's also a very, very special day because, like, technically it's going to be Vincent's birthday episode. So that should be fun. And then we also need to talk about, which I didn't know about because I don't jump into that world, but I'm kind of upset about is more DRM crap. But before we get there, let's introduce our casting characters. Before we get too far out, I would like to introduce everybody. Let's start with Reinhold. Reinhold, go ahead. Say hi.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could drop in on whatever platform we are streaming to.
Yeah, tonight's just going to look like it's just going to be Twitch and the Tube. Rumble's messing up. I tried to mess up with Rumble's dear leader is not getting into StreamYard to get us back on get him back on the Facebook page, and which I'll yell at him. I got a lot of things because also if you're not watching these live where they're coming out from, also has to be releasing the last three episodes on the podcast feed too. So if you are seeing this live, because people like, hey, we're still out there. We didn't pod fade. Okay, for some reason, dear leader, who hates us because we are the fastest growing podcast on the network. We know that dear leader hates our show. He hates us. He suppresses us in the wall algorithm, so we don't get all the views because he hates us. But who he hates the most on this network would be Vincent, because Vincent's got all the rewards. Vincent, go say hi.
Hey, everyone.
Co-host of the year.
He wishes he had co-host of the year.
I think next year, this year, Ryan Hall's going to go for a lifetime wall achievement award. Yeah.
Ryan, what's that achievement going to be?
I don't know. We're going to do it our own reward show. I said we just start planning it now and just do it.
How about longest time between
podcast episodes.
Wow. Maybe that's why that's probably what Hody's working on. It's like, I can't let Reinhold have that.
Well, I've got him beat by years. What are you talking about?
but he's just sitting on it. He's just got to sit there.
He's just hoping I do one so he can get jump in the lead on it.
So he beat now he knows what a stop date is.
Mm-hmm. Yep, got the containment field on there. But no, it's his birthday. It's his graduation. We're looking for his replacement. Send all applications. Remember, you got to be under the dirty age to be on the show. We need his younger, better replacement so we can know what the hip new slang and logos and everything else is going on there, because we are old. We don't know that thing. So send all your applications to movingtarget@wearelibertarians.com, and I'll read those applications.
You actually do get applications.
I know.
They're like, oh, well, I guess I want to be on a podcast.
I did try to interview Reinhold replacements, but Reinhold showed up and won his replacement job somehow. I don't even know how that happened. Well,
the problem is all the other people who replaced me are passing away. They're too old.
No, the issue was that all the other replacements said they would watch anime, and we can't have that.
It's a meme.
They're like, yeah, of course I've watched Cowboy Bebop. Who hasn't?
Oh, man. But yeah. So
you were proving why I don't watch anime. Watch anime. So let's not go too far.
Well, that's his generation of shit anime. Thank you very much.
You know, and it scarred me for life is what happened.
Yeah. Oh, snap. It's Monday. Hey, Christy, you know what? If I ever do, you know, I've been trying to think of a good name change for Low Key some days. And honestly, I think Oh, Snap, It's Monday might be the name of the new show. That, of course, I say this now. People just buy a domain, shit, starting it up.
Turns out there's been 4 podcasts named Oh, Snap, It's Monday.
Yeah, it's true.
Since the start of this episode.
Christy's out there buying the domain name right now. So I know.
Full of it. Full control. Full control, manage it. She's the manager of the show.
But, yeah, I'm sure she wants to take on more management jobs.
Just like I can find some time. I got like 5 minutes here and there.
I'll let her. She can edit my podcast.
Speaking of editing, so like StreamYard has this really cool, neat. calling them out. Anyways, StreamYard really has got this really neat feature they've added in, so it allows you to easily make reels and shorts and clips inside the StreamYard feature. It's really neat. So are you going to expect cool shorts and things from us? No.
No.
But I want you to know I have less of an excuse now. Before, it's like, I got to download it, load it in Adobe. Yeah, now it's like,
I need a timestamp.
Yeah, now it's like, I gotta clip this button.
I gotta watch through this whole thing and try to find some interesting part. That's gonna be the hard part.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing it's probably gonna need is it's probably gonna put the feature request is like a keyframe or something in there, so you can tell like the good bits. You can like mark it like this is a good bit.
Start of conversation A, start of conversation B. Mm-hmm.
Just to help you like mark it while you're recording. But you know, that's really cool things inside of StreamYard, which is the tool that we're using to record. Which I want you to know, before when StreamYard was first brought to the network and we're using it as a tool, I thought it was stupid. It was awful. but I have grown to love it because you get a lot more features out of it. It's pretty agnostic, it's pretty open for what it does. It allows for a neat modability ability, like to add different things. It's just software instead of like trying to be a whole ecosystem and not want to play nice with all of its neighbors in the biz. So, and like everything else that's out there, that just fails. Several different tools that Dear Leader has brought to the network, like, hey, let's use this thing. And I'm like, so this software is tied to this camera and it only has an iOS app. Yes. Do you not see how this is a bad thing? I don't see the problem with here. Okay. But anyways, that's not here, there. But yeah, like I said, it's one of those interesting things that get brought to the network that I have fallen in love with. I don't know if anyone else is looking out there looking forward to it. Let me turn my light up. Get some really dark shed wrong way. Get some weird dark shadows on myself, but I think this is more of where I'm adding the light, or that thing has turned and I just never noticed it. Anyways, so got some really neat topics, like, and I think the one that really brings a joy to my heart, like I think it was awesome, is that when I looked at this morning and realized the MCU's got its first golden raspberry.
Oh my god.
You get what you deserve. Piece of junk writing and awful CGI finally got itself golden raspberry.
Right there next to the other superhero movie of Catwoman.
Yeah. And that's the other thing with it. It's just like, it's more of a, this is superheroes movies. Usually can't get these things. And the MCU has basically dodged it by either being some okay captive writing, money. The mouse has just a lot of money. And now they don't have a whole bunch of money.
Well, the issue isn't money, it's the goodwill. Yeah, because as one of the people I watch talk about this stuff, this season 5, which is just story DLC for Endgame, has become kind of stale and repetitive. That a lot of the things that they do is the same thing over and over again, with the exception that they have a few exceptions like Werewolf by Night and like the Loki show, but most of the actual like movies are rinse and repeat same steps. Because you always have to have the big CGI fight now, no matter what the story is, no matter who the characters are. The martial artist who is really good at martial arts, big CGI battle. We have the Wakandans versus the Atlanteans, big CGI battle. Kind of boils down to, look at this cartoon on television.
Yeah, it's so over the top, so overdone. You know, world-ending stakes every freaking time, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it's just, and it loses a lot of that realness because they're not really there. You know, you pay for these amazing actors and actresses that are there that have studied their craft. Replace them with computers.
So now you're saying you like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Oh, no, that's a terrible show.
Oh, it's a great show, and they do exactly the opposite of what you're talking about. They had actual people doing actual stunts.
Yes, they did. Yes, that's not what I'm faulting. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is faulty because that writing is trash.
You never saw the good writing.
What was the good writing?
I told you it was in between, probably near the end of the second season, they started really picking
it up. How many episodes is that till I get to get the good writing? How many?
I don't know. I mean, the writing's not horrible glass. Before that.
How much feet of broken glass have to crawl over before I get to the
good stuff? It's not bad. Yeah. They were trying. They had initially had to work around trying to work with Thor and all that stuff.
Attaching it to the movies.
Yeah, Civil War. They had to attach it to the movie because they were timing it with the movie. And when they finally decided to abandon that, everything spun up. And when they went into the fourth season with Ghost Rider and the whole the other thing, that season was probably the best season of television I've seen.
All right, so you're saying that because they were trying to attach it to the movies, made it awful. And when they stopped, it got good.
Right.
All right. Well, I'll never know.
Like I got through like all of season 1, and they started trying to force the Inhumans into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I just couldn't care. And, like, they start going, we're going to bring in the Inhumans. You know, the movie that we were going to be a big movie, but it wasn't. So we turned it into a TV show, and that TV show also failed. Yeah, we're attaching it to our big other show. And I'm just like, cool, I don't care. Moving on. There's other stuff for me to watch. And never went back.
Yeah. But, yeah.
But in comparison of, like, yeah. Like, with the Echo show. Right.
Oh, God.
They
which isn't CGI'd, getting season two.
They CGI'd some of Daredevil when he's fighting. Like, and it's obvious CGI yes. when he's fighting.
Yes.
When you look at the Netflix series mm-hmm. where they don't do that. None of they just that. Let him fight.
Let him fight.
Yeah. Even if it's a stunt double, they just let him fight.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good camera angle, shading, people going after the choreography over and over and over again. Yeah, there's a lot of different times like the because those Echo fight scenes got out. I went, let me go back and rewatch some fight scenes from Punisher and Daredevil to make sure that I'm not looking at this and just coping or misremembering or getting nostalgia baited, right? No, those fight scenes were really good. But it's the same thing that it's the main reason Jackie Chan hates the most Hollywood fight scenes. It's like most people won't not take the time to make a good fight scene anymore. It's more of like, we don't have time for this. It's like, Jackie was like, I will work, you know, a week straight to get a stunt right for a stupid, like, I want to kick a suitcase and then I don't want the gun to go in the suitcase that I kicked and go down the stairs. Well, we can CGI this. F that. I'm what a real suitcase. The gun could be fake.
Right, like that's why the Raid movies are so entertaining, because they purposely choreograph all these really mm-hmm. close-up fight scenes that are very intricate and awesome mm-hmm. to watch.
Yep.
But it's...
Yeah, which I think it's amazing. I think I really wish the Marvels will... I wish they would... they think... Notice they didn't put the Marvels in there, but you know, I'm sure no one wants to touch it. I think that's more of a diss. But anyways, the simple fact that I can't believe that poor Michael Douglas is getting a raspberry for supporting actor. Well, nominated for we're supporting actor. He's got a rough. I like Michael Douglas. That is rough.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that it felt like they transition into repeating a lot of the things that they did. Because when you look at the first set of like Avengers stuff, mm-hmm. the only real big CGI fight scene was in Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even with Thor, the Thor movie, even the first one was, which probably isn't mm-hmm. the best movie, mm-hmm. the CGI was very limited in that because he was on Earth without a lot of CGI.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then they do Endgame, which is a big CGI fight. But they also, when they did stuff like Iron Man with him and Rhodey, mm-hmm. they still used enough of it being just the Iron Man suits and not like a bunch of amazing superpowered stuff.
Hmm.
And the more ungrounded it became, the more they have to rely on, we must use our plasma beams and magical abilities to show what happened. They power crept themselves out of
well, it also
how to resolve fights.
Yeah, and also Ant-Man and the Wasp took the thing that made like the cool other Ant-Man movies cool. It's the small things around big things. Mm-hmm. Everything around you is tiny and small. All right, this is pointless. And people,
I want to watch you shrink in real life.
Right. I want to see you shrink in real life around big things that will make big things small and small things big. This would make Ant-Man 2 awesome. It's what we wanted, what we expected going into another Ant-Man movie. That formula of that. Also the fun. It really did feel like Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, the unfun wine mom got a hold of that movie and said, nah. No more of this. but people like the grounded, you know, characters sitting there talking about like, so this has happened.
We and being goofy this. And mm-hmm. why when Ant-Man shows up in Endgame, everybody's like, what are you going to do? We don't even know who you are. Mm-hmm. what is happening?
Yeah, but hey. Which
it's
Come on, there was one character in that movie that was the best character.
Which movie?
The Ant-Man movie you're talking
about. Oh,
The one who always wanted holes. I mean, that character was hilarious. And when you think he's about to die, you almost want to cry for him a little bit. But that was the biggest emotional pull in that movie.
Honestly, I think Quantumania got the Razzie solely for MODOK. They took the still image of MODOK and go, yeah, okay, yeah.
Which is really bad because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did MODOK right. And then they just kind of like, oh, let's just pretend that
didn't happen. Yeah. What? It's just Shielded MODOK?
Nice. Oh, yeah. In the framework season. Yeah.
Look at Randall trying to get me into like, trust me, they did right. You got to watch this.
You should see their Ghost Rider just kicked ass.
God, worse than Danny.
Yeah, it's probably just. They're like, I don't know about which one should be the worst. And somebody just handed them a screenshot of the MODOK. And they're like, oh, this one. Gotcha. Where they decided to take one dude's face and stretch it across a big screen and go, yeah, that's how we'll make MODOK.
And the funny thing is that the guy was funny. The guy doing that bit and that all was written real well, I thought. It looked stupid.
Yeah, it looks so.
Why? Bad. Why does he get so small legs?
It's worse when you go back and look at it again. When you haven't seen it in a while, when you pull it up, you go, they actually put this in a movie. Yeah.
So, like, I think when Layla kept saying MODOK was in it, right? My brain instantly went to early 90s Iron Man cartoon, right? MODOK working for the Mandarin, so this killing machine that they had to nerf, right? For a kids' show. And this is like the worst version of that. It's like, okay, this is going to be a killing machine. Let's just let this thing on loose, which I don't know. Anyways, with this, I really hope that Ryan Reynolds dresses up in the Deadpool costume and goes to the Razzies for celebration. Just be there clapping. That's like, what I want from it.
All I want is for Deadpool 3 for them to reference that MODOK. Mm-hmm. And that's the only thing that would. I just want that. Just that one moment where he just goes, that guy, and he points to the TV screen. And he's like, shudders. He's like, who would ever put that in a movie?
Yeah.
And just keeps stepping.
But yeah. So yeah. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, nominated for worst prequel, remake, ripoff, or sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's going against The Exorcist Believer, which I didn't watch that. That looked like trash. Expendables 4, Expendables, but that's oof. That was that movie. Like I never got what I wanted from an Expendable movie. I wanted Expendables versus Full House. Okay, I think that would be a cool movie. Just do
Expendable. I like the Expendable movie, the first one.
Yeah, the first one was good. Yeah.
Yeah, the first one was good until the end, and then it was kind of jank. But
yeah. And it'd been really neat if they got like some of like they just made a universe with it, you know. Pierce Brosnan making like a spy movie with it. It would have been great.
And they just do a bunch of different series where they take different groups of actors that did a role and put them together.
It's hard watching movies like that, like large ensemble movies like that. Mm-hmm. Because when you sit and watch Ocean's 11 and Ocean's 13, you see how you're supposed to do on some movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then everything kind of fails in comparison to those two.
Yeah.
You notice I did not say Ocean's 12.
Hey, Mr. Jones.
Because that didn't happen.
Yep. Yeah. Then also Indiana Jones and the Dial of Still Beating a Dead Horse. I have not watched.
All these options are good options. I'm just saying.
I was done after 4. I haven't seen anything else.
I haven't watched the dial-up dysentery after this one because I was going to watch it. I was going to watch it, but once they said they took Indy's good. good ending away from him, I was like, I'm good. I'm not giving you any of my money. You know? Yeah. Thanks for the follow, Mr. Jones. Yeah.
The best way to describe that movie is they basically made, Indiana Jones.
Your favorite outside movie is Blue Dash 3D. Thanks. That's great. That's awesome. Yeah.
The issue is that they made Indiana Jones into The Force Awakens Han Solo and just had him play that again. Mm. Where he's like miserable and old and doesn't really want to be there.
isn't that just him now?
Right, probably. But they also start the movie by making it, they like CGI'd a young Indy and like started the movie with like, oh, well, here's what we wanted to do with Indiana Jones, but he's old now, so we're going to introduce a new character who's an actual criminal, but she chalks it down to Indy and makes Indy look like an idiot, and he's just an old alcoholic asshole who really shouldn't be here. So it's just like, what's the point?
So I'm saying, maybe they were just getting what they could out of him as an actor at this point. Well, he can't do anything else. They
should have just made it Shia LaBeouf and move on.
Yeah, pretty much. Just give it to Shia LaBeouf. Just let it go. And then Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, which see that one either. That one, like, I wouldn't look like, how can I put it? I saw it. I was like, my childhood. Mr. Joseph, Indy Jones went woke and it's destroyed him. I think this is a classic demonic influence of Disney ruining everything it touches. Lucas was in touch with some really dark forces. He talks about it in the behind the scenes of Star Wars. All right. I never seen that. But you know, this dark side of the force made some good movies with it, though.
Dude, Pooh, Blood and Honey is the stupidest shit. It's exactly what happens when you go, all right, the copyright of Winnie the Pooh's done. I want to cash in. So I'm going to make a horror movie, but I can't use Tigger because his copyright isn't gone yet. You have to wait another year for that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to make a horror movie with Pooh and Piglet, and they're going to kill these random campers after they tried to kill Christopher Robin, and apparently they like killed Eeyore at some point, and we're like, oh, and that messed him up, and it's just like, what are you guys doing? It is a terrible movie. There's a scene where Piglet is hunting down one of these girls at this camp, and he has an axe, and she's in a pool, and she's like slowly backing away from him as he's walking towards her in the pool, as I'm just swimming and getting out and leaving. She gets slowly walked down by the monster in the pool and murdered. What the fuck? And it's just like, what? What is happening?
Well, makes you feel any better. That worst screen couple is Pooh and Piglet as Thirsty Slashers and Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Oh, so, gosh. Ever want to get a full breakdown of it? Moist Critical loves to talk about the movie because it's so bad. He has like a 40-minute video where he breaks down the entire movie because he thought it was funny bad, and he breaks down how shit it is. It's amazing.
Yeah, I'm gonna go for it. I just can't. No, I just leave my Winnie the Pooh alone. I need that to taunt. I need Winnie the Pooh to taunt bad China man. Okay,
You know that's. I'm pretty sure somebody's already trying to make a Steamboat Willie horror movie too. So,
oh god,
it's just. It wouldn't surprise me if it's the same person. They make a Disney horror universe. It's
probably John Oliver supporting it. John Oliver's right there, like, yes, more horror.
It'd be Mickey Mouse and Felix the Cat.
Well, no,
Tom and Jerry, starring as Tom and Jerry.
Ryan Holt, don't give them ideas.
No, they will. But literally, the day of somebody released their Steamboat Willie horror game, as soon as it was in the public domain.
Yeah, you better stop that, or I'm going to start, you know, pitching ideas to Netflix. You should remake Casablanca. Okay.
Isn't somebody talking about doing that?
You could put The Rock in it, okay?
I think somebody's actually got something in development for that.
Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt voices the plane. Plane.
Oh my god.
Amy Schumer play the female lead.
Oh man. It's terrible. It's terrible. Don't give my ideas.
Okay. Jack Black can be
No. That's it. That's it. Stop it. Stop it, Rhino.
It'll be called Fatties 3 Casablanca.
All right, fine.
Let's Adam Sessler presents Casablanca.
Let's redo Ben-Hur.
Ben-Hur.
Yes. Let's go after all the classics. Let's just...
We're going to redo Big Trouble in Little China.
Shut your mouth.
They're going to make it more campy.
No, okay.
No, they're right. Gonna no. They're gonna take it straight. They're gonna play it straight. They're gonna make it serious.
No,
they're gonna make
it. Listen to Michelle, that bitch, right?
They're gonna make it serious.
Stop it.
Let's give it the Ghost in the Shell treatment.
Oh, man. Yeah, they'll introduce a new character that wasn't in the original plot. Oh.
See, they could redo it, right? Get Michael B. Jordan as Jack, right? Hold on, it could be good.
Ian Peele to do it. That'll be fine.
You see, what is it? Jordan Peele? This ain't got another movie coming out, like Monkey Man?
I don't know what it's called.
He's making like a movie a year now, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Showing everybody they're trash.
Oh, it was funny. I guess somebody on Twitter said something about, yeah, we have to have this conversation. Jordan Peele is now the best horror movie maker in history or something like that. And he responded with, okay, step away from the drugs.
Yeah, not in history.
Put down the pipe, chill out.
It's like my age, not history.
Yeah, he just goes, Hitchcock. He just points at Hitchcock. And
points Hitchcock, at Kubrick.
And he goes, how is this the same?
Yeah, it's like, come on, no.
Like, even I am not that. I am not that confident to say that I'm good as them.
Come right. on, move you on. Know, can you imagine if Kubrick could have had the storage of the film? Like, he didn't have like a physical, like, hey, we're actually out of film. No. He's just got hard drives.
It costs this much money, to record on the film and basically waste it.
Yeah. He actually just had hard drives.
Imagine he was able to finish AI.
Well, no, think about it, though. If he didn't have to worry about film, how many times would Shelley Duvall have had to redo that scene?
Oh, God, you
still doing it.
She would have died on set.
Still
doing it.
Still doing it. She almost did.
I think she's still going to therapy for that.
Yeah.
It made her do olive oil. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. Which, I'm sorry. I know a lot of people trash that movie, but that's one of the best movies ever made.
Which movie?
What, Popeye?
Popeye.
It's a good movie.
Popeye? Oh my god, I love that movie.
It's a good movie.
It's a musical, and the songs are so great. They're done by Henry Nielsen. I mean, it's like, it's gold. Mm-hmm. It just misses the mark a little bit. Like, it didn't go lean full into what it needed to mm-hmm. make it happen. Like, it was trying to pull back and be a little more serious than it needed to be. They should have just went full on, because man, Robin Williams killed that role.
Yep.
The muttering under his breath all the time and making those comments were great and hilarious, but you couldn't hear them half the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the problem, is that a lot of the jokes got missed.
Yeah, it was just because Robin Williams was a great actor.
That's true.
He's a great actor and comedian. So he
just involved perfect olive oil. The casting on that movie was top notch. And they had Bill Irwin, who in my opinion is one of the best physical comedians ever existed. He's a professional clown, was in that movie doing some really great stuff, and they should have utilized him more than he did. That's just what I'm saying. And that town still exists. They built a town for that movie. That movie, that town still exists.
It's a good movie. Trust me. This is the like the few times that Reinhold does a good movie.
I haven't seen it, but I know enough about it to know what you were talking about. Okay. It's like I think my brain pulled up its Rolodex of useless information and go, Robin Williams is in a Popeye movie, right? That's the one you're talking about, right? Like, all right, mm-hmm. cool. I know. Like, let's put that away for later.
Ray Walston's in it as the Commodore. He's only 30. He doesn't know who Ray Walston is, by the way. So that's probably a problem.
It's fine.
More than likely. It's fine. Probably know if I see his face, I might know it, but yeah.
I think he was my favorite Martian, if you've heard of that before. Nope. Okay.
Like, again, there are enough.
They don't teach these kids anything.
I can see their face. I might know, but you reference the stuff then. It's like, bruh.
There's a TV show in the 60s called My Favorite Martian. How do you
just quote yourself? Hold on, quote yourself. In the 60s.
You've heard of Casablanca. How can you? I mean, this is like.
That movie's a classic.
The weirdest TV show in a decade. People, you that carries on in pop culture. You keep that memory alive.
There are certain movies that are prolific in media forever. So like Casablanca, Citizen Kane, Psycho, Birds. There's movies that are older movies, Night of the Living Dead, that I know of, and if it weren't in the zeitgeist, I would not have known of. I haven't gone around to find them.
My favorite Martian should be in that zeitgeist, is what I'm saying. If you go back and you look at like Three's Company, Barney Miller, you know, all these old TV shows, my favorite Martian has to be in the zeitgeist somewhere. That's it's important. It's important to the future of pop culture that gets remembered. My Mother the Car. Did you not hear about My Mother the Car? See, these are TV shows that were really pushing the boundaries of what was going to be on TV at the time, mm-hmm. where you had basically a guy's dead mother inhabiting the car that he drove and was like, he would have conversation. It was so surreal to watch, but that was what people were watching back then. They were watching. It was a wild west of what they were putting on the TV at the time.
And he's saying that anime is weird. Get out of here, bro.
I'm not saying anime is weird. I said it was just bad. Look at what I had to watch in the 80s and 90s. It was bad.
If you told me that concept was an anime, I would go, that anime is trash. Moving on.
No one said these shows were good. I'm just saying they're
important. I got Isekai that has a vending machine.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to watch that show. Producer Paul did, but I don't give the premise by itself is dumb.
Do you want to hear a movie that is important, a very important movie, and I think is one of the funnier movies ever made?
Okay.
But it is arguably considered one of the worst. All right
here it comes. Hey,
now get this. This is Sam Raimi mm-hmm. working with the Coen brothers.
Okay.
Their first movie, mm-hmm. working together on a movie. And of course, it has our favorite Bruce Campbell is in it. Mm-hmm. The movie is called Crime Wave.
Never heard of this one. Sorry. Nope, never heard of it. Let's see, you got a 1953 Crime Wave movie. It's a film noir. That sounds cool.
Yeah, he's that like, might be.
Sam Raimi. Bruce Campbell.
Sam like, Raimi. Oh, Sam Raimi, Bruce Campbell.
Army of the Dead.
The Coen Brothers. First, it's their first movie that they made.
Oh, cool. It's available on Blu-ray. Pair of whacked out cartoon-like exterminator / hitmen kill the owner of a burglar alarm company and stalk the partner who hired him. And his wife and a nerd framed for the murder who tells a story in flashback from the electric chair.
It's that poor car. So bad, it's great. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's some really, really good stuff in there. Let me give you this. There's some really good stuff in there, but the direction that was taken mm-hmm. in the way they framed things was on another level of surrealness. And a lot of people won't get it. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was very comic booky, kind of, if you think about it in a certain way, or it's like framed like a comic book almost. But it was really, I don't know. There's no movie like it. Let's put it that way.
Right. It's funny to me when I was like, this is important to the pop culture zeitgeist. Let's go.
No, this movie, I'm not saying is important to the pop culture zeitgeist. This movie is just, is the first Coen brothers. Plus they were working with Sam Raimi. Interest.
It's like Reinhold's talking about cult classics that like nobody knows about. It's like, cool, I know of Cool World too, bro. Let's move it on.
What the watch your clips of it now. Like, what the hell is this? Step it. Yeah, I can see the comic book. Yeah, ask of it, but yeah, no.
You got to watch that movie. It's so good.
Yeah. I don't know about that one. I don't know about that one. Maybe next time.
When you have Campbell doing and the pistol sounds go off,
maybe the next time I'm in California, I'll pop some edibles and I'll watch this. Sit down, like, all right,
we'll do this.
Get this thing over with.
I think you can see some influences from that into the Big Lebowski. Some of the framing and concepts that they were trying to do in that movie made its way into the Big Lebowski, I think.
Okay. All right. I can see that in some of them.
That brought pulled the room together, dude.
It's just your opinion, man. Shut up, Donnie is my favorite, by the way.
I'm the only motherfucker here that cares about the rules. This John Goodman showing that he's a great actor.
Yep. He is really good. Like, I don't know if you guys watched the Connors after Roseanne is gone. Honestly.
Bert's not bad after she left.
It's not bad. He carries a lot of the show a lot of the time. A lot of the plot lines are really shows a lot of the how a lot of the actors and actresses, like, you know, like they do actually have some really good acting chops, and those scenes make you feel and compelled. But also, like, they also have the weight of, you know, like, because you've watched them grow up to their characters. I think it's also very, like, I don't know. It's
did Johnny Galecki ever go back to that show, the Connors? Did he show up on that?
I don't know. I haven't watched it that deep. I haven't watched the Connors that deep. Okay.
He was, you know, married to Sarah Gilbert on that show for a while. So near the end,
because I believe they
before he got Big Bang, and then she was on Big Bang with him a couple. That was hilarious when they were together on there.
Yeah, they're great friends. The best of friends, but I don't know.
I thought you were going to bring up the Cloverfield movies or Oh Brother Where Art Thou, where he was the Cyclops.
Anyways,
I've probably seen just about. If you want to talk, okay, we want to talk about Goodman and a great role that shows how great he is as an actor, Barton Fink.
Drawing a blank, man.
Barton Fink is one of the weirdest, best movies.
Oh my god!
It wins awards. Trust me, it's another Coen Brothers thing. I think, if I remember right. John Turturro's in it from Big Lebowski. He's the main character.
It is a Coen Brothers movie.
The Barton, but that John Goodman character in that movie is fucking great. Especially the end of it when things happen.
Okay. All right.
Putting things on the list for you.
You heard it here. More Reinhold movie suggestions.
Hey, you go look. Barton Fink has won some awards, I think. Release was nominated for several.
Yep. Definitely has that. It's got 89% on the tomato meter, 89% on the audience score. So, yeah.
I wonder what Crime Wave has on the tomato meter.
Nearly 2 hour movie.
it's about the making of a wrestling movie.
A little long. A little long there, right?
A little long for a movie, I mean.
Long? I've seen 2.5 hour movies, man.
No.
Everything Everywhere All at Once. How long was that?
Well, it was good and it had an intermission, okay?
Intermission? You mean at a pause button on your DVD player?
I think the
Gone with the Wind had an intermission, and that was a 2.5 hour movie.
Yeah, I think the one thing that probably would help most movie theaters if they brought back the intermission so you could refill up on drinks and food and go back in. Especially if these movies are going to be 2 hours long. Let me stop point, hit the intermission, pee, refill my popcorn, get back at it.
I was watching a reaction channel that I really liked. They finally did the earliest movie they'd ever done. It was Casablanca. Mm-hmm. They'd never seen it before, right? So, of course, they love Casablanca because why wouldn't you? It's one of the best movies ever made. So they're all thinking about, well, maybe we should do some other older movies, maybe even some silent movies. And then the one person says, there's only one movie I'll never do from that era. And he said, Birth of a Nation. I'm like, why would you even think about reacting
to that movie? No, I would be like, search history now. What? No, search history now.
It's probably the only black and white movie you can think of at the time.
No, yeah, search history. Don't care. Search history.
Now, it did. Right now. It was acclaimed for, and it did institute a lot of new, like movie making techniques that people were used afterwards. So, I mean, it had that going for it, but that is the only thing it had going for.
Yeah. Search history now. Don't get to duck this one. All right, I could sit here for another 12 minutes and discuss Reinhold's good and as we flip the coin on Reinhold's movie choices, because sometimes it's like, yeah, that's probably gonna be good, and then others like, nah, bro.
I'll tell you when Crime Wave is going to be one where you go, what the fuck? And in a bad way. And Barton Fink is going to be one where you go, what the fuck did I just watch? In a good way.
All right. What the fuck did I just watch? Compared to like when I watched Pie, the heck did I just watch?
No, but look, I mean, it's important that the people who are coming after me, who are going to carry on culture, pop culture, has this history that they're not, you know, maybe not getting. Like, if you didn't hear about these things, maybe it's a good idea that we talk about them a little bit.
I get that. And I completely understand it. It's just most people who have the keys to the kingdom haven't watched those either. And they keep putting out useless junk that we're going to have to step over and forget about it for 30 years.
They'll remake one of the old one things you're talking about, but they'll remake them in a bad way.
Mm-hmm. Here's the problem. The people who own the keys to the kingdom just want to make money. They're not trying to create art. And that's the problem, right? Yeah. And the people who are trying to create the art that they're in charge of, are stifling them and keeping them down. That's why places like A24 Studios is great, because they can go do some shit.
Yep.
They can make art.
Yes.
And you're going to see the success of that happening more and more, because the studios are going to either have to contend with the fact that other people are going to make better movies than they are, and they can't control the distribution as much as they used to, or they're going to have to start letting the people who make the movies have a little bit more say in what they're doing.
Anyways, Avatar. Yu-Haka Show, One Piece on Netflix. It's like, I don't know. It seems to be like Netflix has finally learned, like, maybe we just let people who love the series do this thing and then back off. Like the Yu-Yu-Haka Show, like I was like, is it good? It's like my wife has no desire to watch the Yu-Yu-Haka Show, the anime, but loves the live action.
That's it was a great example. The movie, Galaxy Quest. There were a lot of controls from the studio saying, hey, we want this to be a PG movie at the end of the day. And they were trying to get the right director, but ultimately they were having a big issue with a multi-million dollar movie that they were put together that was having problems. Mm-hmm. So the studio for the most part left them alone. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they were able to make the movie that they wanted to make. And mm-hmm. we see the result. That is a mm-hmm. great movie.
Yes, it is. Listen to this.
Even though there's a couple scenes I wish they hadn't cut out for the, you know, to lose the R rating, because that actually solves a couple continuity issue problems that I have with the movie.
That's right.
I'm
gonna let you finish, but there's movies that have continuity issues that you won't criticize, so I'm not gonna give you the platform to do that.
What?
Yeah.
What movies do I not criticize that have continuity? I criticize continuity issue. I didn't mean the movie. Like this is a great movie.
Sorry, Rahul, that's no. Stop cops. Yeah, get off the cope roller coaster.
Like when you know, her suit keeps getting undone further and further during the movie. Mm-hmm. The reason was that they got, when they were down there trying to stop the bomb thing, two aliens came down there and she's like, oh, is this all you want? So she unzips her shirt in order mm-hmm. to entice them over so she could kill them. Mm-hmm. And that got cut out, but that explains why that all of a sudden happened. Mm-hmm. You know, and everybody I've seen watch the movie just go like, what happened there? And they don't know because that scene got cut.
That's right. Anyway, so the other question I have going on, like, I stayed out of league for a long time, and I mm-hmm. plan on staying out, you know, but there's some days I sit there, I kind of want to get back in, you know? It's still, people still play, it still is a fun game. And then I got the news here, we're discussing for this thing tonight, and I get the news from Vincent. That's apparently, it's like, I don't have to worry about ever jumping back in.
Alright, so this is a video I watched from Richard Lewis, who is a award-winning journalist mm-hmm. in esports and sports. He's won Journalist of the Year 3 times mm-hmm. for his reporting. Nice. He also teaches journalism as a professor in a couple colleges.
Mm-hmm. Nerd. So,
yeah. But he's broken a lot of stories. He was the first person to basically break that CS2 was going to happen. It's not going to happen. He's the one that's like, they're releasing it. And they're like, we don't believe you. And then it came out and they're like, oh, well, shit. He's also broke like a bunch of cheating scandals of like, like betting and throwing games and stuff like that. So he was talking about Vanguard, which is Riot's kernel DRM anti-cheat mm-hmm. that they have in Valorant.
Yeah.
Which is always on. As soon as you open the game, it's on your computer on until you shut your computer off. Mm-hmm. So the Vanguard is all the moment you open Valorant until you turn your computer off, mm-hmm. that DRM is always running.
Right.
Not so, persistent after over reboot, though, right?
Correct. Right. So once you reboot, it's it's down until you open the game again. When you open the game again, it's up and until you reset.
So that's a C- as opposed to an F. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a lot of people don't realize that's the case, and they just leave their computers running and all that fun stuff.
Yeah. Most people have like the 30-day uptime on their computers.
Mm-hmm. So they are with the specter of anti-cheat, they're moving Vanguard over to League of Legends because people are saying, oh, well, all these cheaters that there really isn't a lot of evidence of, that all these cheaters are cheating in our game. So we're going to put Vanguard in the core game files now.
Okay. How can you find the evidence that people are cheating if you don't have the tools like Vanguard to identify it and give all that information?
Well, you could ask Valve, who don't run core kernel anti-cheat in any of their games. So, but because this anti-cheat is moving over to League of Legends, when they announced it, they were very vague on information. It's like, we're not going to take any of your personal information that we don't already.
Mm-hmm.
That Vanguard doesn't already take. They make a pause. When he announced it, there's literally a awkward pause where he says, we don't take any of your information that Vanguard doesn't need to verify if you're cheating or not. And they don't specify what information they're taking. They don't specify how long they're holding it. They don't specify what's relevant information.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all done by a company that's owned by Tencent, which is China, who has a law in the books that if they go, hey, Tencent, give us this info, and Tencent says, no, cool, we're taking over Tencent. So the whole thing that people were going up in arms about TikTok, how TikTok is going to sell your information to China, et cetera, because it's a Chinese-owned company, that is that there were people who were in riot who were worried that when those legislations were happening against TikTok and all that stuff, it was going to effectively shut down Riot Games because they're doing the same thing.
Yeah, they're doing the exact same thing.
The exact same thing. So they're purposely moving this always on the moment you turn on the game until you shut your computer off. DRM that tracks all your information into their other game. Without fully explaining any of the things they're taking, how long they're holding it for, or what the relevant information is anywhere. When they announce Valorant and any of the Valorant information about Vanguard, mm-hmm. when they announce that Vanguard's not going to copy your voices from the in-game voice chat, and they're going to hold that information until they find it to be
useful
to see if it's relevant and when they'll get rid of it. Correct. And now they're moving that to their other games as well.
Yeah. So there's basically like chopping up your, well, like, so now you really are the product in your free game of League of Legends. You know, they're taking that information that they're gathering from you, and they're probably selling it to AI brokers, data brokers, but they've already taken information from you. So now they're just getting machine level and other type from you, or just help building a profile based off zero numbers. It's great. Awesome.
And they can't say too much because they don't want people to be able to try to thwart what they're doing. And if they have too much information about what they're trying to collect and stuff, they can do that. But
yeah, that's necessarily, yeah. But like,
you should be able to have like how long are you storing the data and that sort of thing. Those types of data retention policies should be made public.
Yeah, but if their security policy is obscured, like, well, we're collecting this data, this is helping keep you secure. Like, come on, that's not real security,
right?
And now for our sponsor, VMware.
Nice.
Oh wait, can't do that now. That's Broadcom.
Yes, Broadcom. It's Broadcom.
Hyper-V. Let's go Hyper-V then.
That's okay. I'm switching to Proxmox.
No, virtual box is still out there, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to Proxmox. Proxmox for home, Hyper-V for work.
But yeah, here's a basically a 40-minute video where he breaks down the history of Vanguard from Riot. It breaks down the Riot's announcement, the move of Vanguard to League, and all the relevant information about all of it. It's very informative, very insightful, and it comes from Richard Lewis, who honestly is probably the most ethical journalist in almost anything at this point. Like, literally, he's a part of a company, and that the company was going to get Saudi money, and he said, no, if you do that, I'm leaving the company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they didn't take the money from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. So it's coming like with someone with like a bunch of morals, like raising the flag of like what the heck is going on.
Exactly.
Yeah. But what I said, the thing is, like, so League has been around for how long now?
they're entering season 22.
Yeah, so it's been
something like, stupid 16 like that?
Years of League.
Yeah, like a long time.
And what have they used for to do for anti-cheat since then?
The proprietary.
People complain thing. That there was tons yeah. of cheaters all the time.
People just complain.
The reporting system, basically. Cheaters.
Yes, people just reported cheaters.
Just like CSGO. They used to complain all the time about cheaters in CSGO.
Yeah. Most of the time, most people who...
But with CSGO, there's playback features where you can watch the replays and go, oh, this person's cheating. You can see based on these replays.
Yeah, I used to watch like Summit. People would make, you know, complaints, and he would go through and be one of the people who would determine whether people were cheating or not based off of those replays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's one of the other things is that you can't verify that Vanguard's doing anything in Valorant because there's no way of watching any replays in Valorant. So if somebody is cheating, you have no real way of verifying through their gameplay that they're cheating.
Right. You got to trust that the Vanguard is doing its job. Working. Something that's always working and it's always on.
Although I have seen them catch a lot of cheaters, though. So they're doing something. Right.
I mean, are they catching cheaters or catching people who just modded their like their game files or different things?
No, they're catching. Well, I mean, they may be scooping up some people, but I've seen actual legit cheaters getting caught. Like one guy getting caught during a tournament got banned, and he had to come out later and say, "Yeah, he did that."
But I've also seen the same stuff happen with like CS:GO and CS2 when they get back banned and their accounts just you can't. Play the game anymore, and they've just done it just because the player is cheating and they've gotten rid of them. So it's just a matter of how you're going to go handle anti-cheat and the systems you use for it. But with it being a kernel anti-cheat, with that they're inserting into a game that probably hasn't been their this core information has not been updated in like 5 years. Like League of Legends was already written on spaghetti code.
Right.
Now you're putting something else in the middle of that spaghetti.
Yeah. And hopefully it doesn't. Yeah. I'm sure they got the sauce down so it doesn't crash as much. And the game really like runs on potato now. So I don't know. I'm just getting upset with all these game companies putting more and more DRM and stuff on their thing. It just, I don't know. I understand like the rise, like we're going to stop all these cheaters, but it just seems like, some of y'all haven't cared before. Why are you caring now? What has changed? What the F has changed? What are people complaining? People complained for years. What the F has changed? What's going on?
People complain, but they were still making money.
Yeah, and they still are now. And that's why. Yeah. But it might have been that, like, it's obvious that Riot Games is having issues because they cut 11% of their staff at Riot Games. Which is just out of nowhere, but it's
there's still $1 million TFT events going on.
Yeah, exactly. They're still making money. Yeah, they're still getting paid. People are still putting their money to buy skins in this free to play game.
Yeah,
but now they're just adding more tracking software and more DRMs that are unnecessary. That if their reporting and banning system worked anyway, why would you shove it into this game?
Correct. Or like it should also go off when the game's done. Like I'm done with the game, it's done. Mm-hmm. You know, like no.
Unload itself out when the executable unloads.
Correct. Yeah, just like Valve's anti-cheat. Like it's on when you're gaming. When you connect, you connect to our servers. Our anti-cheat is running. Okay, let's see what you're doing. You know,
right. That's why VAC works. That's why getting VAC banned is so devastating, because it's attached to you. And when you're playing CSGO or CS2 now, the VAC is up. And when you stop playing it, it goes away.
Goes away. Turns off. Turns off. I'm done playing. You know? And if I play on my server, it's not on. Turn off.
Yeah. You have to have it turned off. Yeah.
Correct. You know?
7 days that has it. Yeah.
Yeah. Not granted. League doesn't allow you to host your own servers yet. Hopefully they will eventually.
Doubt. Riot Games is notoriously litigious and strict on who they let do anything with any of their games, right. Period.
Plus, where's the benefit for them? They're just going to go, yeah, we should do that so we can not make as much money as we do now.
Right.
Honestly, I think they probably would make more money if they let people host their own servers. They don't want to have to host their servers.
Now, if they charged a fee, if they charged like a rental fee for the servers, maybe I could see that.
Why? You let other people
still, you know, I'm saying that's, I could see where they would
do
that.
But you see, money. Harry, it might have saved them money, but they would no longer have a total monopoly on who gets to play their game when they want to.
That's true.
You see,
and they won't have as much data to sell.
Right, exactly. If the moment I let you run your own server, I can't prevent you from running a tournament in your city that's unsanctioned by Riot Games, sir.
Yeah, and that's another reason why, like, you need to have, like, a... This is another thing that's crappy with coming PC gaming is that you have to, like, turn your PC gaming machine to, like, a console, basically. Like, this thing plays games, and I'm going to go do something else. And I got my other machines to do everything else. You know, like... It's okay, you know.
Well, I mean, it's almost getting that way now with some of the games anyway, because they're trying to make the games work on both PC and console, so it's got a console interface, and it's like, you don't need to do that on a PC, guys. You can actually make a intuitive, well-defined UI mm-hmm. instead of, you know, what you're limited to with the
console. You know, yeah. Yeah, I've got a full keyboard and a mouse and peripherals. Let me connect to anything I want. No, can't let you do that.
Why would you let you do that? That makes no sense.
I don't know.
And I designed this game to be used on controller, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I dislike this current crop of, like, this additional DRM because it is junk. It's running when it's not should be running. It's doing things. It's an ancient black box, and I hate black boxes.
Mm-hmm. It's unnecessarily predatory.
Well, and the problems I have with it was one that it doesn't shut off when you're done. Mm-hmm. That should be a priority number one to fix. And the other is that it is literally malware.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I get that antivirus makers got hooks into the ring in order to do that. Mm-hmm. And they had that special compensation, you know, dispensation for that. But I don't think you need ring access for, yeah. For any cheat, maybe. I don't know. I guess the thought process is if your cheat is, you know, written as malware and is sitting in that ring as well, that you might need it to see it, but don't like it.
Yeah.
And when it's attached to popular games, mm-hmm. it's unfortunate.
Right. I think the other thing, like, you could probably do better with cheaters is you open up a better, different, like, mod community. I think, like, the game we play a bunch of high res, like, for Paladins with Evil Mojo, if their community of champions would have just had the ability to look at replays for cheat reports, I think there's a better cheat reporting system right there. Like, nope, look at this, shooting through walls, you know, ban all, collect every IP that was connected, like, that's their smurf, ban that too.
Right, and Angelo is also in his video. He's like, "Yeah, these cheaters. If you just ignore them, they'll more than likely go away because all they're going to do is keep winning, and then they're not going to get a rise out of you. So they're not going to get the entertainment out of it. So they're just going to be bored playing a game that they have no fun in now. But you react to them. You give them the satisfaction of them trolling you."
Would cheater shadow, but cheater matchmaking shadow ban? They just constantly stay in the queue. They just match with bots,
right? Or like I can't remember which game it was, but they match cheaters with other cheaters, so that they're forced to play against each other.
That's funny.
So
I remember who it was? I remember I was you were saying it. And I was thinking about it at the same time. I can't remember what game.
I can't remember what game it is either. Mm-hmm. But this pet. They took the cheaters, mm-hmm. put them in the lobbies with other cheaters, and make them duke it out.
Probably Halo. Gulag. It's probably Gulag. Call of Duty. Gulag.
I was thinking like Team Fortress, but that's not right either. So.
Yeah. Valve just gets rid of you. they just go like, do this again, and I'll nuke your Steam account. That's the other thing when Valve goes to ban someone. It's like, we can take your Steam account. The what? My what? Fantasy like, Steam account.
Like Apex does it as well as Call of Duty.
Yeah, all right, that's fine.
So, yeah. Malware's stupid.
Yeah.
The anti-cheat doesn't really help because they're tackling issues that aren't really there. They're shadow boxing ghosts in order to put proprietary information and inject it into your games under we're looking out for your needs and your wants.
Right. And if Reddit has showed you anything, tons of people would be like, if you community mod them and like, hey, you've got to review what 5 hours of reported footage, you know, for the league. Like, trust me, like, if you can get community mod status, you know, it'd be called a mod, you know, like
that would work, but League tried that already, and the person who was running it went a little crazy. Well, yeah, exactly. He went a little crazy and started spouting some really fucked up rhetoric. So you know, it happened. They tried that. It didn't go well. They tried it.
It's a good thing. You just gotta rotate like the mouse. Sometimes you get a bad apple, bad cop, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Sometimes you get the cop that
you know, and you send him to a different precinct, and hopefully they're not dirty there.
Yeah. You know. Oops, dropped the bomb on this entire server. Oopsie. Well, that's wrong. That's jokes bad.
Goddamn. But you just got undemonetized.
I know. I just said that.
Luckily, it was at the end of the video.
Yeah. Luckily. Anyways. Before this episode gets too long in the tooth, and I do get us banned from the tube again, which thank everybody for tuning into this episode. If you listen this long, you're a true fan, you're a true key holder. This episodes are recorded 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Mondays. Please come hang out with us live. I enjoyed the 300 of you guys who download this podcast every week, probably not as much as anymore because Spangle hates us and is missing us off the algorithm, so I gotta go yell at him this weekend, but that's besides the point. Love each and every one of you. You could have been listening to anything else in the world, but decided to listen to us, and I thank you. Glad you got something from this, and see you guys next week. Say goodbye, everybody.
Bye, guys.